Welcome back, my friends, to the Derate the Hate podcast. I am your host, Wilk Wilkinson, your blue-collar sage, calming outrage and helping to navigate a world divided by fog and those who would spread that fear, outrage, and grievance. Each week, I'm sharing stories from my path and using the power of conversation and collaboration with my many great guests. Together, we chart a course toward understanding, bridging divides, and fostering a community where wisdom prevails over discord. Friends, it really is about bettering the world one attitude at a time. We did not create the hate, but together we can derate the hate. The only good thing about a bad attitude is we have the ability as individuals to change it. For me, it starts with gratitude and personal accountability. I am so incredibly grateful that you have taken the time to join me for another powerful DTH episode. Please remember to subscribe and share the DTH podcast with your network of friends. If you would like to support the show, check out the Support Us page on the Derate the Hate website. With that, my friends, let's get to it. In this conversation, I am joined by my friend, Kevin Bass. For those unfamiliar, Kevin Bass is a scientist with a long-standing interest in, and more importantly, the debunking of, misinformation. He was recently dismissed from his third year in medical school for his COVID-19 advocacy. Kevin joins me to discuss his initial mindset on COVID-19 and his interest in debunking misinformation on the topic. Our conversation delves into his paradigm shift and what he came to feel was a toxicity in that initial mindset. Kevin also talks about the difficulty of stepping outside his silo and the echo chamber that led to increased polarization, tribalism, and health misinformation within that community. He discusses the fear of speaking out and the consequences he faced, including being kicked out of medical school. Kevin emphasizes the importance of conversation with people of differing mindsets, whether it be for course correction in science or the mending of the divides within our social discourse. Friends, some of the incredible takeaways that you'll probably get from this conversation, you know, stepping outside our echo chambers and engaging in conversations with differing viewpoints and how crucial that is for personal growth and understanding. We face these fears of speaking out and the consequences of challenging this so-called consensus and how that can prevent individuals from even questioning or exploring new ideas. And how we can mend the divide, finding common ground, and how that requires an open and fearless conversation that prioritizes understanding and empathy. Friends, this conversation with my friend Kevin Bass, definitely one that you do not want to miss. And with that, here we go. Kevin Bass, thank you for joining me again here on the Derate the Hate podcast, my friend. So great to see you again, man. We tried this a little while ago. We've obviously had a few conversations now, but the last time we tried to record this, a lot of technical difficulties, and looking forward to another great conversation, but hopefully a little bit better luck with the internet gods, right? So, welcome, Kevin Bass, the Derate the Hate podcast.
Thanks for having me, Wilk. I appreciate you inviting me.
Yeah, so good to see you. So good to talk to you again, my friend. And so for those that may not be familiar with Kevin Bass, Kevin Bass is somebody who has kind of carved out a space of his own on social media. Somebody who never wanted to necessarily be a social media influencer, but as so many things have transpired during this. The pandemic, the government's response to the pandemic, the real growth of misinformation in this big misinformation complex online. Kevin Bass, med student or PhD med student, and somebody who was very much on board with the government's response to the pandemic right at first. And Kevin, I want to talk about that because that's where your story starts. But then there was a kind of a paradigm shift on your part, right? And that has changed your life. So let's start there, Kevin. Let's talk about what was your fascination with misinformation, and what was your mindset at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, and and kind of, you know, where were your thoughts with, you know, the government's response to the pandemic?
Yeah, so I first started, I got into social media because I got really into thinking about the obesity epidemic. I read this guy named Michael Pollan. He was huge. He still is kind of huge in the psychedelic space now. He's sort of switched what he talks about. Now he popularizes some of the psychedelics research coming from Johns Hopkins. But at the time, in the, I think, late 2000s and then maybe early 2010s, he was talking about nutrition, food, obesity epidemic, what's causing the obesity epidemic, how do we solve it? And you might say, like, he really red-pilled me to nutrition and to thinking about, you know, how can we make a huge impact on this country in a way that's not necessarily super political, which very much appealed to me because I have a background of being very political, kind of on the far left. So I wanted to get out of that because despite being sort of on the far left, I'm also sometimes a little bit unorthodox. So I just really disliked the politics. It got kind of in the way of thinking. So I thought, okay, so we can get to a space where we solve, you know, the obesity epidemic, and that's less political, and there's more room for, you know, being an authentic thinker or scientist. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I got on social media to sort of promote some of those ideas that I was learning from Michael Pollan and his books, and, you know, maybe trying to see what I could do to influence or have an impact on solving that problem of the obesity epidemic. I realized very quickly, though, in the nutrition space that there's a massive amount of bad information. So if you're going to solve the problem with the obesity epidemic, you have to kind of agree as a society what the problem is.
Sure.
And if you can't agree what the problem is because there's so much bad information, then you can't actually make any new policy. So then I got interested in misinformation to try to maybe resolve some of these issues. And then I got into like debunking misinformation, you know, explain to people what the scientific problems are with different diets, different false claims, over extrapolation of scientific findings, etc. And then, I did that for many years, like 5-6 years. I accumulated a small following on Twitter and to some extent Instagram as well. I went on like some podcasts. I would call out other influencers. I sort of exploited this whole aspect of outrage culture on social media in order to call attention to science. Mm-hmm. I was sort of using the dark side for good, as I was thinking about it. So I was sort of like a science troll, but I was really trying to promote science.
Okay.
And so I was, yeah. So I'm also used to controversy to an extent. nothing could have prepared me for what happened whenever I did the thing on COVID. It was a totally different level.
Sure. Sure.
But you know, to speak of that, you know, during the first part of the pandemic, first 2 years, I was a zero COVID guy. I wanted to like lock people in their apartments. I thought people are just going against the science. And if they're going against the science, if they're like, you know, not, if they're not like staying locked inside their apartments with masks on 24/7, then they're basically killing people because they're selfish and ignorant and like bad. And so I remember like walking past people, like taking my daughters out to like the science museum and stuff. I was just very pathological. I remember like seeing people without masks and like wishing I could beat them up. And like, it's a very, very toxic way of thinking. Super toxic. And I was a hardcore COVIDian. And I also came from the political left. And so, that was a huge part of it as well. There's this sort of ethic of caring, and it really contaminates the way that you look at science. I think caring is a very important value, but it can't be the only value. There's a lot of different important human values that characterize a good life, and the single value of caring or empathy can't be the only one, or you're not going to have a good life.
Oh, sure.
More or less. That's, you know. But I realized, you know, coming near the end of 2022, I realized that zero COVID obviously wasn't working, and it started just to dawn on me progressively that everything that we had been doing, like, didn't work. It didn't make any sense from so many different perspectives. I started retweeting people like Elon and some other people about COVID. Elon had this one tweet where he said, "My pronouns are prosecute Fauci." I thought that was very funny. I thought it was funny and also interesting. Like, I had been a big Fauci fan. I would tweet about how Fauci was great whenever he, like, what is it? He did the whole facepalm with Trump. I thought he was a hero for standing up to Trump. I thought all those things. So it was kind of strange to me to see somebody as intelligent, obviously, as Elon, and a lot of people who are quite intelligent. In fact, I had good friends who were very intelligent who just couldn't stand Fauci. They thought he was terrible. And so when Elon said that, I kind of enjoyed that a little bit because it was like, it was something different for me. It was something transgressive. And it was something like, maybe I could learn something about it. And especially as I was becoming disenchanted with the whole, COVID narrative. So I retweeted that. And as I started to do more, talk about more about it, I started getting dogpiled by my like sort of orthodox or basically all my friends, all the people I talked to, everybody. We were all in academia. Or if we're not in academia, we were like really closely associated with academia. And we were all on the political left and we all thought the same. And so whenever I started to do that, like basically all my friends started to like not be my friends anymore.
Right. Right.
So whenever they started to do that, I was like, dude, I think this is a legitimate point of view. I think this is important to talk about. And then so I voiced some of my opinions about that in like a thread. It was like three tweets. I wrote it really casually. I thought COVID was going to be like any other topic I touched in science. I did a lot of stuff, not just in nutrition at this point, but I was doing stuff on like statins and cholesterol. And
sure,
I was
sure.
Debunking a lot of misinformation about those things. So I thought, okay, I'll tweet this thing about COVID. I'll do a couple tweets about COVID. I'll make some videos. I'll talk about it a little bit. Like we're wrong about COVID, whatever. It was just going to be another topic, another influencer type topic. Like I was just going to, say my point of view. It was not at all that. I went super mega viral. Like so many like huge people on the internet retweeted it. And this is the first time I've ever gone this viral. Like before that, maybe a 500 retweet would be what I get. 500 retweets is like the biggest, but then this went like 10,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I just remember it. Like I'd never experienced that before. And then suddenly, like, people became very interested in, like, what I was saying. And the thing that was the most interesting to me is, like, whenever I made that thread, people reached out to me and DM'd me, like, very emotionally. Like, thank you so much for saying that. Because I said, like, I'm sorry. Basically, I apologize. I said, I'm sorry for what we did. This was terrible. You know, I think we got a whole lot of stuff wrong. And it's because this, and this reason. And, you know, I'm not Fauci. I'm not Walensky. I'm not a big person in the space. But, you know, I'm one person at a time. Be the change you want to see in the world. So I apologize for my part in it because I was very vicious during the pandemic and pretty terrible to other people.
I want to just stop you there for a second, Kevin, because you know, obviously people who listen to me know that I talk a lot about personal accountability, right? And one of the things that I talk a lot about, whether it be in business and in my personal career or my personal life or here on the podcast, I talk about that personal accountability aspect. And now I do find this interesting that, you know, at this point, you know, you're obviously somebody who's, you know, working towards becoming a physician. You've already, got a large carve out in your life for that. And now you feel as if because of your mindset, you're like you said, you talked about yourself as a zero COVID guy, and you're being a proponent for the masking, the social distancing, you know, your feelings of disgust and anger towards those people who were not towing the line or were not actually participating in, the masking and the social distancing. So now you're fighting an internal battle because you've got this thing going on where you almost feel partially responsible for promoting that, right? I mean, so that's got to be pretty tough for you. And then obviously a lot of your peers, a lot of the people that you've been working with, working around, a lot of the people that you've looked to for guidance and you've bounced ideas off before are now basically castigating you, shutting you down for just stepping outside that echo chamber. So talk a little bit more about that, because that's, in one way it takes a lot of courage, but it's this thing that we as human beings have a very, very hard time doing, especially when it's your passion to become a doctor, and now your peers are looking at you differently and almost questioning your, questioning your worth in that space. So talk a little bit about that for me.
Yeah. So before, you know, before I did this about COVID, I would debunk, misinformation, charlatans, quacks, whatever. But because I was sort of like within the orthodoxy, even if I was pretty aggressive about it, like, I used to be much, much more aggressive than I'm like not aggressive at all now. I'm like, I try to be really nice to people. Good. Back in those days, I was terrible. And part of that's probably now because I absolutely cannot get away with that anymore. If you're on the wrong side, you can't get away with it at all.
There's that.
So I had to really tighten things up. But like, I was pretty terrible to people. And because I was saying the right things, I never got into any trouble about it. Maybe a little bit, like, one of my professors would say, you should not make these videos calling these people charlatans. But I never got into any trouble about it, not real trouble. And I never lost friends over it. I made friends. People were like, good job, you're doing a good job fighting against the misinformation. But, I was being trained as a scientist. This is while I was doing my PhD in between my medical school years. So for the MD PhD program, you basically break the medical school in half. And in the middle of that, you do your PhD.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing my PhD. And I'm supposed to be a scientist, right? And so part of my whole shtick, the thing I sold myself as up to this point was I follow the facts. I don't care what your ideology is. You need to put ideology behind the facts. The facts are the most important thing. And then, so I was just going to continue that. Like, I'm okay, fine. This is the facts. I have to be a scientist. People don't like it. A lot of people haven't liked the stuff that I've done before because, I tell people what I think the facts are, even when they don't like it. And so I thought this was going to be a similar sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was different because first off, COVID, and I just didn't realize this at the time, but COVID is obviously a much bigger issue than like whether you're going to be keto or whatever, or vegan right. or whatever. And then also the other issue about it is like, I was going against the medical establishment, for whatever reason. And we talked about this a little bit off air, and this may relate to some of this, but for whatever reason, I think the medical establishment is very, homogeneous in its perspectives on a lot of things. I think a lot of it's because people are employed by big corporations now, compared to what the way they were like 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. It's a different kind of medicine than it used to be. And, because of that, there's a lot more homogeneity and a little bit more fear, I think, about actually speaking one's mind independently. And then, mm-hmm. So whenever I did that, I realized I was going up against something that was really big, but I nonetheless believed in science, right? I believed, science is about speaking the truth no matter what. And I think most people will honor that, or most people should honor that. But yeah. It turns out, COVID is so political by that point that, I discovered that there are boundaries to where your scientific inquiry or where your scientific discussion can go, even if you're being completely scientific, even if, in fact, the things that you are saying could be very valuable
right.
for public health, right. right? I think public health really messed up because it was so political and unscientific, and I was just trying to correct things
sure.
so that we could have better public health.
Right.
But it turns out that yeah, that can be very a problem.
Yeah. So a couple of the questions that come to mind for me, Kevin, was first of all, when did you realize that this thing had become overtly politicized? And then the other part of that is, being somebody who has such a passion for science, being somebody who thinks that we have to speak the truth, that my idea of science and my idea of most things is unless we encourage people of differing mindsets to speak up freely, fully, without fear, and being able to prove that there's not a consensus when some people would have you believe that there is, we don't have the ability to course correct. So I think about, the things that you're saying, and I think about a lot of my own frustrations with this because, because I was speaking to people, and I certainly didn't have the same kind of peer group that you did. But I'm one who spoke out against the government's response to the pandemic by, you know, by this time in 2020. I mean, it was shortly after, you know, St. Paddy's Day, you know, that, you know, when they came up with the whole concept of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I'm like, okay, well, I can buy into this a little bit and we'll give it a shot. And then it wasn't very long after that that I said, there's something seriously wrong with this whole idea, the way that this is going. But for you, somebody who was, you know, one of these zero COVID guys, right? We have to stamp this thing out. We've got to make this go away. Was it that part where all of a sudden, you know, the whole scientific method thing where they weren't allowing alternative voices? Is that what led you to start realizing that this was an overtly political thing? Or how did that work for you, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it really started in the sort of health misinformation, the sort of debunking space. I started to realize people are a lot more tribal and ideological in their conclusions and in the things that are promoting, including among my friends, mm-hmm. on all sorts of different issues. There are consensuses that are not directly based on the science, but are based on sort of a constellation of different political and practical factors that, and then like personal factors, like personal people, depending on their opinions, they can shift things. And I just started to realize that we're not necessarily following the scientific literature, very well on certain recommendations and certain parts of the guidelines on a whole different range of topics, and that you can get castigated and sort of demonized, by having all sorts of different kinds of disagreements. You've just even in my spaces. And whenever I started to realize that, my thinking about COVID sort of became a lot less rigid as well. And once I started tweeting about that and talking about that, then I started getting like viciously attacked. And then also had opportunities that came up, like, do you want to write about this in Newsweek? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then I wrote about it in Newsweek, and all this time I started to write about it. Like, everybody who was like saying, "Yay, Kevin," I was like, "This is really weird because these are the bad guys. The bad guys are cheering me on, and the bad guys want to be my friends." And I was like, I was stuck in like two different worlds. Like, the good guys are on my side. They're disagreeing with me and they're saying I shouldn't do this, and what I'm saying is bad. And I knew they were wrong. Like, they're wrong. And then like the bad guys are saying I'm doing a good job, and like, I was thinking, like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to keep following this because what I think is good and bad, the people, it's not matching up to what I'm seeing, but I'm going to follow what I'm seeing.
Sure. Sure. So when you're saying, yeah, bad guys and good guys, I correct me if I'm wrong, but are you thinking like those maybe that would be more classified as on the political left and classified as on the political right, or just people outside the medical community, and then people within, or are you talking about intelligentsia versus, you know, rural America? What are you, just for clarification, what are you thinking about when you're saying bad guys?
Yeah, the COVID dissidents, okay, we could call them. And they tend to be in the political right. Not all of them, but like 95%
okay,
are in the political, okay, right. They tend to be outside of the establishment. If they're not, a lot of them are at like Stanford. Some of them are at UCSF. A lot of them are on the West Coast for whatever reason. Like people like Jay Bhattacharya. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a really bad person. I remember him responding. This is very funny to me because it's like he would respond to my threads and like give me information. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting information from the bad guy. Like,
one of the nicest guys I've ever met. But yeah, I can imagine. I mean, especially in 2020 when you've got somebody like him who, you know, only people in the medical community knew who Jay Bhattacharya was at that point. But yeah, to see him, and like I said, just from my conversations with him, one of the nicest guys on the planet. But then, you know, for people to think that this is a bad guy, I'm loving that was part of your paradigm shift is realizing that there's nothing bad about this guy.
I mean, that's what's so funny about this is that. But it's also what's so horrible. It's like, people who are really good, nice people, in the same way Jay is a nice person, who are in academia, who are at Harvard professors, etc., they still, like, I know them well. I know they're good people. They're not vicious, toxic people. Mm-hmm. They'll still tweet things about Jay where they think he's a terrible monster.
Yeah.
Like, they think he's a terrible monster. And I remember DMing some of them, was like, this is like, I know what you're talking about, and I used to think the same thing, but he's not. Jay is like one of the nicest. He is the nicest person. He's way nicer than anybody else I know in the COVID, on the like the COVIDian establishment side.
Sure,
really.
Sure.
He's like, he's amazing. And so it's like hilarious. What did I think about? Like, I thought he was like a grifter who is like opportunistically exploiting the pandemic. That's the only way that people on the other side think about our side. Really, I mean, most of
them.
In the, And so I thought he was a grifter exploiting pandemic. So I'd read his stuff, and even when I was reading his stuff, I was reading it like, this is another perspective that I'm going to give a chance, but I still have all these residual feelings of like, this is, oh my God. Like, and then I had this feeling of like, what am I doing while I do this? But I was like, I'm going to give this perspective a chance, even though, this goes against like my deep feelings about how I should be doing things.
Right. Right.
And so whenever I wrote my Newsweek piece, the piece that went super viral, like over 1,000 comments, almost like 2,000 comments, it's like the biggest piece that's been in Newsweek in like several years. It's crazy. And I just wrote it like in between my experiments. I had no idea this was going to happen. I knew that I had an opportunity to write an op-ed. Okay. It was going to be an op-ed about my thread, but like, I didn't know it was going to be like big. And it was huge. It went everywhere. Like, all my professors read it, and like everybody was reading it. It was so weird. But I was reading, I was using Jay's work sort of like, it was like an exercise in seeing another point of view. And like, how would I see that other point of view?
Stepping outside even up to the point of publication. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even up to the point of publication, I remember the day of the publication, my editor says, this is going to come out. And here's the title. Here's what it looks like. And I'm going to put this out in a second. And I remember getting that text. Oh, I think she actually put it out. She put it out. I get that text. And I was like paralyzed for 2 hours. I was like paralyzed. I was so sick. And I was like so afraid of what I had just done, written that. Because I knew that I had done something that was going to change my life.
Sure.
And I had, and it took me like two hours, like sitting there to bring myself under control. But even at that point, it took me several months after writing that piece to sort of really fully understand the side that I'm on now and like what they think and their point of view and to internalize that, not just an exercise, but that's real also. And so, yeah, it is shocking the extent to which we're so polarized. To sort of depolarize, as the term you sometimes use, to sort of depolarize is, it's really like getting out of a cult, you know?
Yeah, and
but the cult is a mass phenomenon that's taken over all of society.
Absolutely,
it's wild.
Yeah, and I'll go back to you know one of the things that you said a couple minutes ago, Kevin, is you know people depending on which side they are, right? They have a hard time. Realizing that this person over here is not evil, you know they think well they don't think like me, so they're evil. It's not that they're wrong; they're evil, you know. And you know call it a affective polarization or just this ugly thing that so many people suffer from, especially in this internet ecosystem that so many people spend the majority of their time in now, because it's a lot easier to look at somebody online or somebody that you've never had a conversation with or somebody that you just occasionally read their tweets or you know something that's in their Substack or whatever. It's a lot easier to look at that person and we often as human beings and I don't exclude myself from this, but we will read something that somebody has written and we will completely gloss over so many of the things that are in there that may have validity, you know, so many things that are good, and we will pick out the things that confirm our bias, our confirmation of our own biases and why we don't like this person. And then we completely miss anything of real value in there. It happens, and it's not exclusive to one side or the other. It happens on the right. It happens on the left. It happens everywhere in between. And this whole COVID thing, you know, the polarization that comes along with the COVID divide, right? It's not a two-sided issue, Kevin, and I think you'll agree with me here. There are many things along this spectrum. It's a very big spectrum. You know, you've got people all the way on one side who, you know, like you said, you were at first a zero COVID guy. We've got to do everything that we can do. We've got to lock people up in their houses. We've got to make sure that everybody's got a mask on. I don't care if you're swimming or taking a shower or in the car by yourself. You've got to have a mask on. You shouldn't even be outside your house unless whatever. You know, there's that. And then there's completely on the other side, to use a controversial phrase that was never actually said, but the, you know, the whole let her rip, let it happen, right? That side. And then everywhere in between. And it's just ugly. And people, like I said, they will, whether it be somebody on one side or the other, or somebody that loves Jay Bhattacharya is more akin to my other friend, Dr. Francis Collins, they're going to look for things that confirm what they've already decided in their mind is true. So they are going to look for that information online. And in so many ways, the reason I said the whole, you know, stepping outside your silo thing is because too many people today, Kevin, don't do what you did. They don't ever take the opportunity to look objectively at other material that probably is going to disagree with what they've already decided is true. And they would rather castigate and demonize those that are outside their silo and stay safely tucked in their silo with people who are going to confirm what they believe. So with that being said, let's talk. I mean, I know we're getting closer towards the end of our time. This conversation could go on forever, and there's way too many things that I would love to talk to you about. We'll have to save that for one of our many future conversations. But talk to me, Kevin, about, okay, so you stepped outside your silo. You decided to take a chance. You wrote this Newsweek piece, and it did. It wasn't just a unfounded fear for you. It did change your life drastically. So talk about just real quick, and then we'll have to wrap this thing up. But talk about what that did. I mean, now you've obviously been shunned by a lot of your peers. You've been given the boot, unfortunately, from medical school. Talk a little bit about that, and talk a little bit about, you know, what's next for you, and what do you think the promise is for a future, and how we can start to mend this divide, mend this tear in the fabric of our nation caused by this COVID divide.
So I think one of the interesting things that happened as soon as I put that piece out was on the, you know, the people on the medical school forums were talking about me. And I remember somebody telling me, oh, here's a thread about you and what you wrote on sort of the medical student forums. And I remember going there and just seeing people basically, I actually ended up responding and trying to have an exchange. And super hostile to me, you know. But I think one of the very interesting things is, like, they were very sure, several people were very, very sure that there's no way I was going to finish med school. And the reason that's interesting is that seems to be a kind of knowledge a lot of people have innately about, not innately, but whatever, for whatever reason, they've acquired that sense, that judgment, that if you say such a thing, if you apologize, you say, no, we got this wrong, here's a couple of reasons why, then you're going to face serious professional penalties. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a knowledge that's widely understood. At least there's a significant risk. And if that's a knowledge that's widely understood, because people are just very sure, and several people, and I would hear it in many different places, not just that forum, many different places, people would say that. If that's a widely held understanding, then everybody widely knows not to speak, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even people who disagree. You have no incentive to speak. You have every incentive not to speak. In fact, you have every incentive not to know. Because if you learn something new that challenges your view, you could feel inclined to talk about it. Why make your life more complicated by reading the side that you know is getting canceled? And if you start believing those things could get you canceled, stay away from that. And so I think that's very interesting that that's a part of our culture. People have that cultural, deep cultural knowledge that there's certain areas that they shouldn't even question, not because they necessarily disagree. They may not know anything about it, but because that's the bad thing. That mm-hmm. is the knowledge that is forbidden. So I think that's interesting. But I don't want to talk too much about basically I ended up just like, I think Jay recently had this award. I haven't watched the video yet, but apparently he was given an award with Matt Taibbi and I think Schellenberger, if I'm not mistaken. Sort of a free speech award. Like he spoke out about something important, COVID in his case.
Sure, sure.
And he got an award. And I think during an interview, I think maybe it was with Dave Rubin, if I'm not mistaken. He said, he lost a lot of his friends. He like lost 90-95% of friends. His friends. The same thing happened to me. And people start behaving towards you differently. They start interpreting you differently, thinking about you differently. You can't do any good. And so that ultimately ended up me being kicked out of med school. So I'm still going to be a doctor because there's still, ways to do that.
Nice.
Maybe it would give up because it's it's going to be hard, or maybe I won't get a residency in the U.S. But if I don't get a residency in the U.S., I'll go to Poland or something, or Mozambique or Madagascar. I don't care.
Somewhere.
I'm serious.
No, I'm that's serious. Awesome, man. I mean, I love the drive. I love the spirit. It's awesome.
Yeah, they're not gonna win. Come on. So, I don't know if that answers your question. We don't have a whole lot of time, so Yeah, so, just to wrap things up, it's a very disturbing point that we are in society right now, where people know that there's certain things they shouldn't be thinking or talking about. And I think we need to figure out how to solve that problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
I write about it a lot.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, I think you should continue to write about it. Like I've talked to you before, Kevin, about, all the work that I do with Braver Angels. One of the big things at Braver Angels they talk about is being able to speak up freely, fully, without fear, have conversations with people of differing mindsets. The only way we get through this, the only way we mend the tears in the fabric of our nation is to continue to have conversations with those people of unlike mindsets, stepping outside your silo, having the courage to do that alone, knowing that it has the potential to make your life more complicated. It has the potential to just make things so much harder, but you in your pursuit of truth know that it's the right thing to do. So yeah, I absolutely, applaud your courage there. I appreciate your time coming on here. I look forward to many more conversations with you. And, as I continue on with my work, I truly and honestly believe, that, as our friend Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, the name of his podcast is The Illusion of Consensus. I do believe that there was no consensus. There was this illusion of consensus. And many of the people, just as you alluded to earlier in our conversation today, were afraid to speak up because because of they were afraid of the ramifications. You know, truth be damned. You know, they did not, and I'm not going to knock them for it. I mean, people have to do what they have to do, right? But 100%. they were afraid, and I think that's unfortunate. There was a lot more to be said than was allowed to be said, and now we have to fix it. Now we have to clean up the mess. I mean, we can't look backwards. We have to look forward as to how we make this thing better for your children, Kevin, my children, all the children of the world, you know, all the people that we're going to leave this rock to after we're gone. We got to keep on doing it. And the way to do it is to have conversations, have free, full, fearless conversations, step outside your silo and just keep doing what you're doing, man. I appreciate you, brother. Kevin, you're awesome. And we have got to have a lot more conversations. I look forward to more.
Thanks, Wilk. I appreciate you having me on.
Friends, if there's anything in this episode that provided exceptional value to you, please make sure to hit that share button. Share it with your friends, share it far and wide. And of course, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe right from our website so you can get the Derate the Hate podcast sent to your email inbox every week. So this is Wilk wrapping up for the week saying get out there, be kind to one another, be grateful for everything that you've got, and remember it's up to you to make each and every day the day that you want it to be. If there is something that you would like to share with me, you can catch me on most social media platforms, or you can email me directly, wilk@wilksworld.com. With that, my friends, I am going to back on out of here, and we will catch you next week. Take care.